Everyone else is, hey, let's get more stuff. Good evening and welcome to another episode of Citizen Kane. It is November 6th, 2016. Happy Daylight Saving Day, however
fixing.
You say it.
It's being fixed.
That's right.
Because we're going back to the real time.
That it should be.
It's the real time
it's,
now.
It's fixed. So the actual saving, which is it, the whole saving is a, I have a problem with, because you are not actually gaining any hours. We're not gaining sunlight. We're just fixing the time back to where it should be. And now, of course, the sun is going down at 4:30 in the friggin' afternoon, and I think it's playing with a lot of our minds.
Yeah, but that doesn't have anything to do with the time. It's the time change in March or April that really does the damage.
That causes heart attacks and car accidents,
yeah.
And people going to work for the first couple of days of the week all groggy and out of place.
You know, or late,
or just calling in completely. Of course, this day brought to you by the word seasonal affective disorder, another thing we need to start looking into. I don't know. There was a couple of years ago when I think I was suffering mild cases of this, which is prevalent in the winter when it's shorter days,
yep.
Less sunlight. You start getting depressed, sleeping more, lethargic. And, of course, I was working third shift during those years.
So any sunlight that was around, you weren't getting any of it because you were sleeping or...
Yes, it was horrible. And if you're in that same boat, you might need to maybe do some research and maybe one of those... those wake-up lights, or there's two methods. You either stand in front of a really, really bright light for 30 minutes a day, or you get you one of those imitation dawn lights.
So, yeah, I think there's Himalayan salt lamps and sun lamps.
I don't know.
I'm going to find one.
So you told me earlier that this is your favorite time of the year? How does that even work? Most people like the fall. Some people like the spring.
Yeah, I like the fall. Spring's okay.
Most people are like summer, but most people are like winter is, ugh. I mean,
I can't have summer because of the bugs.
Mm-hmm. You're not allowed outside during that time.
Which is great coming out of any seasonal affective disorder. And then it's like, oh God, I'm being eaten alive by creatures of the Lord. This is great. I'm calling it my time finally because it's after Halloween. So I can get out of hearing everybody bitch and moan one way or the other about how Halloween is Christian or it's pagan or how dare you this way or that. And now what's coming is Christmas lights and cherry cordials being sold.
Is that a good thing?
Oh, yeah. The dark chocolate cherry cordials, yeah. In the fall, from like, I guess when school starts in August or so, everybody, oh my God, I have never heard it before moving up here, complains about how all the white chicks like pumpkin spice everything. And it's just so terrible that this group of people like something.
Yeah, prepare for pumpkin spice everything. It's coming. It is coming.
And it's just the worst thing in the world. I don't understand why there's so much hatred of a simple marketing meme, but
I think it's overdone. And I don't like pumpkin spice anyways, but I mean, it
smells good if it's natural.
Why does it have to be in everything?
Because it's just a marketing ploy. I don't know. I don't think I've had anything that's pumpkin spice, but
it's pumpkin season.
But it's after that clear marketing standpoint. And now it's into Christmas lights everywhere and, you know, cherry cordial everything flavored.
Right.
I don't know.
Well, maybe we'll put lights up this year.
Yes.
So anyways, we're streaming live on YouTube. Of course, afterwards, I'll upload those to the to the YouTube page there, so you can watch at your leisure. Also, we're being aired on Cheshire TV a couple nights during the week. We're live right now, so if you want to call us, that number down below me, 267-521-2771 is the number to call. You can add to the conversation, tell us how much you despise pumpkin spice and how much you hate daylight saving time and how we should probably get rid of it because it's just not needed.
We should not be moving an hour up.
We shouldn't be moving. Just leave
it. Now. Leave it alone.
Of course, you can also Skype us. Citizen Kane is the handle. The website is citizenkane.org, and that's where you can message me. Also get a hold of all of the previous shows. They're all there. And the show notes of anything that we talk about. Let's get right on it. Couple of issues that we've been talking about for the past month got resolved at the last city council meeting this week. Pretty much they all went down exactly like I said they would. The first one being the political sign ban. It was kicked around for a little while there, and some people called the ACLU, and my heater just turned on. I wonder how loud that is. That's just... I wasn't planning on that. So got kicked back. It got kicked around. Finally got back to city council, and unanimously they voted to not adopt the ordinance that would ban political signs on city property.
So political signs are allowed on city property?
Well, according to state law, they are not.
I can staple one to the window of the mayor's
office. Everyone before this campaign season were breaking the law. And it's pretty much unanimously voted that, go ahead, keep breaking the law because of freedom of speech rights.
Well, it's a bad law.
So, it's a bad law. That law needs to be repealed and removed from the books. I think it talked about some electioneering. Keep the electioneering part. You know, no one handing out signs inside the polling place. I think everyone can agree that's probably acceptable.
I can see people freaking out.
But public property, especially if it's not a hazard, it's not a danger to drivers and whatnot, you know, leave it up. It's just 2 months. Another one that I knew, you know, I got passed and was voted on unanimously was was the blue line down Marlboro Street, the blue line, the thin blue line that would that supports the police in this city.
They do so much good.
Wasn't going to talk a whole lot about it. I was just going to tell you how they voted. And there was some good sound bites. I grabbed two clips from that meeting that they deserve to be played because if I can find my folder. There we go. So two counselors spoke concerning, one against and one for. And
who's the first one that you're going to play?
I'm going to play the against. It's, of course, Robert Sutherland, who is the only one on the whole damn panel who's actually speaking
from
sense.
The base.
I think this is well-intended, but I also I'm concerned about the amount of effort that this city, this council, spends on showing support or symbolism, writing letters to Concord or whatever. I think that this is... I think we can all agree that we support the police department. I think we can agree that we support all of the departments of the city. And I think that we should be careful about getting tied up into these symbolic efforts that cost money and cost efforts. And I think it just opens the door to additional motions to demonstrate support for other city departments or other external causes. Are we gonna start lighting up City Hall in the rainbow colors to support lesbian, gay, transgender, bisexual issues? Are we going to support the painting of red lines all over the city to show you how to get to the fire department? I think that this is well intended, but I think it's a runaway. Thank you.
Okay, there you go. What sort of precedent does this create? Now everyone's going to want their line.
And he mentions that they do stuff like this a lot, where they get tied up in symbolic acts that cost money.
Yeah, and it's not the responsibility of government to get involved in symbolic statements. This is
that, you know, cost other people's money.
That cost other, exactly. It's the taxpayers' money. I know that it's a very small portion of it, but it's, you know, this is not something government should be involved in. If you want to put signs all over your yard, all over your private property, so in support of whoever or whatever, then go right ahead. But this is public property.
And I like the way that he was detailed in what he said, because he didn't just say, you know, government is, you know, this is government and this is doing, making a statement. He's saying getting tied up in these symbolic acts. This is like, what, the fourth meeting about it or something?
Yeah, it's gone on for...
tying them up.
Gone on for quite a while. But there are ardent, what's the word I'm looking for? Ardent supporters.
Ardent.
Of this proposal. And one individual seems like he's ready to go to get into a fist fight concerning... this resolution going forward. Of course, that would be Councillor Filio.
I have to disagree with the councillor. This isn't rocket science. This is a simple show of the council.
And just to make sure that it's clear, Sutherland spoke, and in the entire video, Sutherland spoke, and then he immediately got up.
Yeah, he probably wasn't going to say anything.
Okay.
But Sutherland got up there and made the point, hey, this is not our job. Let's stop playing around. You want to back it up a little bit?
Yeah.
Science. This is a simple... disagree with the councillor. This isn't rocket science. This is a simple show of the council, of the... excuse me. The support of our police department. It's been tried in other communities. The question was, is it a legal issue? It cleared that hurdle. And as far as, you know, how do other people think? Well, the other departments think. Well, if we were worried about that, then we'd be worried about every time we put up a streetlight, a stop sign, you know, every time we planted a bush somewhere, that somebody somewhere is going to feel offended that their street or their corner or their light or their stop sign wasn't taken care of. I mean, we do a fireman's parade. Do the other departments come in rushing, complaining they don't have their own parade? I don't think so.
No.
This is a simpler request. This, you know, in the years I've been on the council, we find many ways to take simple things and make them complicated.
God, he's
this isn't complicated. Let's do a simple yes vote and move on.
Okay.
Let's do a yes vote and move on.
He's talking about how simple this is. Yes, it's so simple. In fact, I would say that city council shouldn't even have to, they shouldn't be spending any time considering this.
Yeah, it should be a simple no, stop taking orders from children, Mr. Jones.
But the biggest thing is he's making the same argument that Jones made last week, and that is... he is equating this to stop signs. No, yeah. A stop sign is not a political statement. It is not a personal political statement. It is a stop sign, and it's there for a reason. Now, they might put them in the wrong... You might make the argument that they're putting them in the wrong place or they're putting too many of them.
I mean, neighbors do complain. Like, when people are saying that they wanted more stop signs in this neighborhood, I was like, no, we don't need more stop signs. They're going to be not obeyed. Because, you know, the context, the neighborhood, we don't need it, da-da-da. So people do complain about, you know, we don't want stop signs here, we do want them here and all that. But you're right, they're not a political statement. They're not a statement. They're a rule. They're a tool for the government to extort your money.
Did you say that? So, of course, all in favor of this, one opposed, I will be voting for that individual again because he seems to be the only one making sense these days. Everyone else is, hey, let's get more stuff.
The only part that Filio said that sounded to me as a trigger, that triggered to me the idea that he wasn't thinking. He was just so worked up about how doing this will make him feel good, was when he said this has been tried in other communities. Mm-hmm. It's not a thing that's... It's not a program. It's, you know, this has been tried in other communities. What specifically? Painting lines on the road? Yeah, dude. Like, I understand, like, they've done it in other communities. But maybe that's just, you know, my grammar nut.
Shauna, you're just
falling off the tree.
You're just not progressive enough to understand. You just go back to
the new linguistics.
Yes. So, of course, passed. We'll be getting that in the spring. Another hot issue that is no longer on the table, historic district.
For now.
It has been dropped. That was kicked around a lot as well. They finally got the vote on it. The whole council got the vote on it this week, and they shut it down. I did like, every now and then you agree with one of these guys, I did like Greenwald's response to this. Where is that at?
Historic on the bottom.
There it is. So he responds, and like
he responds like he's saying after the vote or before the vote, recommending what or...
Just the whole, he's talking about the whole procedure in general. This is his take on it.
Okay.
I want to thank the residents of that street, that area, for coming out and participating in the process and speaking very loudly and clearly. They didn't need the assistance of these ordinances to take care of their property. And as a counselor, I'd somewhat like to apologize to them for the time that they...
Yeah, you don't hear that often. I think that is the first time I've heard that. Of course, I don't watch a whole lot of these meetings, but...
Well, for most of us, you do, but wow, that's a...
Refreshing. Am I hear it again?
Counselor, I'd somewhat like to apologize to them for the time that they put in to go through the process.
We'll take what we can
get. And all the hearing and everything else. In essence, we tortured these people for a good period of time. In the future, before we embark down the road on inflicting rules and regulations on our public, I think we should ask them, does the public really want these? Is there any real need for this?
He's blowing my mind.
As the ordinances were being withdrawn, it was not that... I don't think that they really thought that there was anything wrong with it, but if they couldn't get everything they didn't want anything. So I'm just happy that it's over. And
it's not over. It'll be coming back. This is not something they're going to let die peacefully. It'll be coming back either in the rezoning or they're going to try it again on one of the other streets.
I'm half tempted to throw an amendment to disarm the first half, but I won't. I won't. Because I do firmly believe that property owners, particularly in Keene, will do the right thing and are proud of their community and proud of their heritage, and they don't need regulations like this to tell them what to do.
Amen. And I don't know what ward he currently resides in. He might just be trying to get reelected.
Well, he has a business on Main Street, so I don't know, whatever.
So every now and then.
So that's neat how he said, like, the people who live there who came out and they spoke out so much in this direction and such. It almost as if, like, in the context of telling city councilors or city council members and committee members that you don't want them to do something, if you impress upon them the idea that you are already responsible, a responsible individual who doesn't need adult supervision, they'll treat you like one.
Yeah, but even
that
if...
That is... So, act like an adult and are treated... Okay, this... I'm going to need some more pens for this.
Even if you're going to act like a slumlord, that still doesn't give them the right to...
Or like a scuzzy.
Or a scuzzy, yes. I mean, still doesn't give them the right to what he just said, torture you.
No, but it clearly was the behavior of the residents who are going to be affected had an impression upon him in a certain direction.
Residents that were going to be affected put their foot down. They did a lot of campaigning. They did a lot of research. Did a lot of phone calling and emailing. They put their foot down and says, no, this is wrong. We're not going to have any part of it. And that was heard loud and clear, obviously.
That was heard. I think a lot of the rhetoric that they use is my property rights and all that. The logic of government should not interfere in this instance was peppered within all the research that they did, all the showing up and all that. But
another issue that was voted on was the biofuel generator. Diesel, I believe it's a diesel, biodiesel generator for the not the landfill, the transfer station.
Not the trash.
Not the trash heap.
Trash mountain.
Not trash mountain. The transfer station. Of course, we touched on it very lightly last episode, and only a couple of minutes. And Shauna was really upset with me that we didn't get into it because she had questions.
Because I don't know anything about trash mountains.
The trash mountain facility is off the grid, so they are not tied into the Keene's Electric. It goes as far as CNS and Smith's Medical, the Blackbrook Industrial Park. That's as far as it goes, and then Trash Mountain is another mile.
Mm-hmm.
They capped off one of their mountains, trapping methane in the mountain, and they have been harnessing that to run their facility. They also have a diesel generator. In the very, very cold months when they're using more energy than methane is producing, they've been using the diesel generator. And they have come to the conclusion, they were aiming at 2020, where they would start looking into an alternative. They've come to the conclusion they need it now. I'm starting, and I have a theory, but anyways, they're trying to get a replacement now. They'll still use the methane as long as it lasts.
I have a probably dumb question. What do they need the energy for? Okay. Is it just to operate the machines inside there?
Lighting the machines, heating the building. There's not a whole lot out there, and
Do they need to heat?
Do they need to heat?
Well, I mean...
Do I need to heat this basement?
Yes. Okay.
Yes, if they didn't, things would freeze and...
I said these were going to be dumb questions.
So there were three alternatives that were put on the table.
Mm-hmm.
One being extend the grid, run lines out there, which would amount to about $550,000.
But it'd be a one-time thing?
One-time thing. And you would have lines run out there. So if anybody else wanted to run something out there as in another industry or even housing, guess what? There's lines out there. This is why I'm actually leaning towards this direction, because it's infrastructure.
Future
investments.
Yeah.
In the city. Of course, no one wants people to live out there because they want everyone
to live next to Trash Mountain, though. That's kind of...
There's a whole mile of land. Okay, anyway, so that's the first one, and no one likes that, except me.
Probably because of my dumb question that I just asked.
You also have... The next one in the list is the solar option.
In New Hampshire?
Yes, exactly. Actually, I was doing I was doing mild research on this, and solar and wind, the technology isn't there, but it's a lot better than it was 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago. So you don't need as many daylight hours to do what is a good investment. I still think it's kind of iffy.
I think wind
is pretty iffy, but and the price tag. So. $1.5 million. Project is $1.5 million. Now here's my theory on why they're doing this now, because when they were doing fish produce farm that they were going to put on the methane mountain, and it's the heat the water and whatnot.
Trash mountain fish.
Trash, exactly. They got a grant for that project. It's up to $500,000 or half of. So if it's less than 500, it would be half. They would pay half of the funding.
Mm-hmm.
So in the case of the solar project, it would handle $500,000. So it would be $1 million project. And like I said, the reason I think they're actually going after this project now
is so they can get that money.
So they can get the grant. Because if they wait another year and they're waiting till 2020, it's not going to be there anymore. And so I think that the methane problem isn't a problem because they were going to put fish on it, but now it's a problem. So I don't know. Number third option, which is what they've all voted for, is the biodiesel generator. I think after the grant, it comes out to like $200,000. And of course, they would still have their methane generator, and they would also have their diesel generator. So they'd have all these things out there. It's the cheapest of them all, and it's still kind of green friendly. They're going to be, it'll be basically run off. They talk about French fries, French fried juice.
What?
I think that
you mean like
maybe
some restaurants?
I think that, yeah, I think that maybe some of that is subsidized, mixed into the corn and soy, which is actually probably coming from. Which, by the way, is subsidized, and if that ever falls off, the price of bioethanol is going to go through the roof because it's not cost effective. It's just like a lot of these projects. It's just like the whole solar discussion.
So the biodiesel generator is not really the cheapest. It's just that it's subsidized.
Correct. It looks the cheapest, and it might still be the cheapest. But you have to keep in mind that the market is being manipulated, and this energy source wouldn't be available. Of course, we're going to have plenty of French fry juice, but we're talking about a huge facility. I'm sure they'll need a lot more than is available from the restaurants around town.
And you'd also have to take into account how often do the restaurants recycle their oil?
Well, they're actually, recyclers, these producers of the ethanol, are actually they're driving around getting it.
I'm sure it's a tax write off too.
It might be a tax write off, it's trash. I mean, you have to pay to get rid of your trash around here. It's not free.
Yeah.
So, you're taking our oil, our nasty, dirty French fry oil. Well, sure. Just come and get it.
We'll throw it down the gutter anyways.
Yeah, we'll put it in the vat outside the back door. Coming to get it. And these guys are probably driving around with a big old tanker, and they're sucking it up. So there were some clips I cut from that initial meeting. This is not the city council meeting this week. This is from the committee meeting. And Greenwald and Clark got into it.
Oh, goody.
Clark, of course, being probably the greenest of the green as far as the councilors are concerned. And Greenwald, he's a little more money-friendly in my book. And, of course, he does not support the solar. Here's his take on that solar project.
Just cannot support a $1.1 million investment in a technology that is changing so fast and pretty likely will be outdated in 5 years. And furthermore, that the solar option, although it is meaningful and a good idea, if you can't connect it to the grid, then we're really going nowhere with it. Future projects, absolutely, but for this one, the biofuel strikes me that it's got flexibility.
By the way, that's one thing I forgot to mention. Usually when you do solar, you tap into your current supply. So if I was to put solar on this house, I would tap into the power meter there here.
So you're not just relying on the sun?
And if I ever created any more than I needed, I would be actually shipping it back to Eversource, and they would be paying me.
Okay. But if they're not on the grid,
if you are
then
completely off the grid, you need a very expensive battery. I don't know if the battery was included in that $1 million. It might have been. But anyways, you're talking about a battery, and these things don't last.
Yeah, they're batteries.
They're batteries. They don't last long. You're constantly having to replace
solar
them.
Solar is not magical. Sun photosynthesizes your TV.
And you also have to consider
it's a scam, kind of.
Well, it's still green. It's still friendlier than burning fossil fuels, but not on the scale that fossil fuels can handle. Consider the cost, the carbon cost of actually creating solar panels
and making those batteries,
You're starting to get up there where it's, you know, you're not really saving anything. It's still, yeah, it is green. It is green friendly, but it's not that green friendly. And then, of course, you have to maintain it. And we're talking about new technology. Like Greenwald was saying, this is brand new. It's getting better. But is 2016, 2017 the year to try this? Or should we wait and let the other people experiment with this and, you know, suffer the consequences? And we'll, you know, pick up from their successes and whatnot. Of course, Clark is going to speak exactly on that in a second. Let me finish Greenwald.
Oh, I can't wait.
Let me finish Greenwald quick.
If it's not working, we can still go back to diesel, as you said. And if in 5 years the solar component is cost effective, we can do that too. So it sounds like the way to go for me anyway.
All right.
Yeah. You know, we can kick this can down the road as we're doing. and you know, say the same thing 10 years from now, that it's just not time yet for this particular place. It's just not time yet for this particular place. And yet we see people all over the world doing it, and with fabulous results. And we are just afraid to take that step and to make that commitment. And I just can't understand why. I know I'm not going to be alive to see the end of any of these projects here, probably. But I just have to think about, you know, what's going to happen 40, 50 years from now. The decisions that we're making today is going to set the pace. And if we don't start setting the pace today, then who is going to do it? And when are they going to do it? Is it going to be the next council or the next council or the next council after that? And if we still have people saying that, well, it's just not going to work this time, when are we going to do it? And I want to do it now. So I'm going to vote against this because I really feel strongly that we need to make the decision today.
Okay. Yeah, so, who's going to pay for it? This is right there with the broken window fallacy, where you're spending money on a project, and you're actually, I mean, where could that money have been spent elsewhere?
In this case,
you have a very, very expensive project. Where could that money have been spent elsewhere?
Well, you could do that about
a lot of things the government.
Yeah,
does.
Everything. So, I mean, there is that the money should not be spent indiscreetly just because Clark wants it now.
Well, he's thinking of the future.
He's thinking of himself, and
he's thinking of his kids.
He didn't say that.
Well,
I expected him to say, my children are going to be affected by this, my grandchildren.
He might have learned not to play that card because it brings up negative reactions. I don't bring my kid up a
lot. Well, you don't like your kid, though.
That's right. True. Maybe he doesn't like his kids either.
Maybe.
Clark, I found something we have in common. We don't like our kids.
But he keeps saying, you know, all over the world this happens, and he doesn't say where. That would be a great, you know, be like, oh, this type of solar magical thing is what they do in, you know, the Netherlands, and that's how they do it, and it's so great, and it works out in this little town that's about the same size, and on. Nothing. No, he's just heard sometimes that it's really cool. I don't know what, like, Facebook would never lie on, you know, some friend's post about how solar is so great. Like, I don't know where he's getting it from.
You mean the solar panel grant hunters? Who live off of government grants wouldn't lie to us and tell us how effective these things really are and how much money you'll save.
Yeah, and if you didn't really listen,
how green friendly they
really
are.
And if you didn't listen to the specifics of their spiel, you just say, oh, it happens all over the world. I mean, I'm not saying he didn't study more into it, but it just seemed very vague and very not focused on the future so much as it had to do with him. Because he wants it now, and he wants to be the one to make the decision. That's what he said over and over. If we don't make the decision, then somebody else will. Well, so what? Like, are you in the making decisions contest of the first, you know, I mean, are you in that committee for solar being the champion of everything? Or are you supposed to be a champion for Keene and the ward that you represent and the city council committee that you're supposed to get, you know, stuff done? It's like his priorities are to make solar. That was his choice, right?
Yeah.
He wanted the solar. Okay, so he's saying, you know, if we don't make this decision for solar, then somebody else will. Why is that the end of the world?
Well,
and if other people do it, then he won't be the first one. Like,
a lot of progressives are worried about the environment. And the fact that we have to live in it and breathe this air.
He didn't even pull that card, though.
But he has in the past, though.
He has in the past, and I'm sure that's what he'll say later. But, I mean, he was all about, in that video, if we don't make this decision, somebody else will. If I don't get my hair dyed blonde for winter by December 3rd, somebody else will. And if I show up with my hair done on the 4th, then I'm not going to be the one who made the decision to get it done first. And that would be, like, so terrible because somebody else would do it. And I need to think of the future.
And actually, you know, that's a lot of the...
That's all I was getting from that from that clip, mostly, was just this obsession with we have to be the first ones to do it. me. We have to do this because if we don't, somebody else will. And it's just really like, dude, grow up.
Well, we...
That's the theme for today. Those people.
I don't even know that it's... Of course, I don't agree with the second two anyways. I agree with extending the grid out there. 500,000, yeah. It's twice as much as a generator. Get those guys on the grid, and then you'll have infrastructure there for other entities that might want to build here in Keene, who don't want to be necessarily so close to the city.
But of course, that's the
dirty energy.
That's civilization building. That's gross.
They did not vote unanimously on this. At city council, there were two against, and one of them wasn't Clark. It was Hooper and Jones. Jones was against because it wasn't in the master plan. The master plan is all Keene needs to be green. So we need to make our decisions based on that philosophy.
A biodiesel generator is not green?
It's a lot cleaner than hooking up to the grid. It's not as clean as solar. That's what I got from...
If a meteor came in and, like, destroyed all of us, then there'd be no grid, and that'd be really green, so...
We'd all be living in... I don't know.
That master plan is sneaky.
Because I've seen
a lot of people, like, the stuff about the historic district...
The Heritage District.
The Heritage District annexation. Hansel was, you know...
It's based on the master plan.
This is against the master plan. And they're saying, oh, this is against the master plan. It's like, okay, back to what I was saying over and over again. They are not.
John Theriot has really been pushing for a remastering of the master plan.
Yeah.
It's about time. They're supposed to update it every 5 years. And so I think that'll be coming down the pipe pretty soon. And those will definitely be meetings, events that we will be public workshops that we will be attending.
What?
I will anyways. I might be able to drag Shauna. Nah, I'll just tell you about it.
I don't know what's worse.
So yeah, Hooper, Jones voted against it. I don't know what Hooper's thing was. Everyone else was for it. I thought I had some video of that, but I guess I didn't cut anything of that. But yeah. What else do we have?
Had enough of them.
You had enough of all that? So that was city council. Those are the interesting events anyways.
Pretending to psychoanalyze people without a license.
So what else happened? Oh, I know.
And now for something completely different.
So I listen to a lot of radio here in Keene, a lot of local radio. And I was listening to Dan's show. Of course, the commercials come on, and I usually kind of phase out when the commercials come on.
I wish I could do something.
Came on, and it was an audio tone. And then it went right into another commercial, and I wasn't really thinking when I heard it. I'm like, in the back of my mind, I'm like, oh, it was one of those broadcasting test tones,
yeah,
that are really annoying and they get your attention. And I kind of went along with my business. It turned into a ad by Monadnock Voters 2016 in support of Maggie Hassan. And it was poorly done. All the audio levels were different. It was like everyone was in a room and they weren't mic'd up very nicely, and all the audio tones were different. Up and down, up and down, up and down.
Like somebody was really loud and then somebody was quiet. But it was the same. Okay.
And it was done by this group who claimed to be all Democrat, Republican, independents.
I'm sure that's true.
So, I got a copy of it just to re-listen to it, of course. Of course, an hour later, I heard the exact same tone, but it was a advertisement for Clinton. Same people.
Of course it was.
And I heard the tone, and I'm like, I know what that is. I know exactly what that is.
You're getting yourself ready? Do you have it?
I'm going to play the Hassan ad for you to listen to. I don't know if you've heard it yet, Shauna.
I don't think so.
Oh, here it goes.
The following is a paid political announcement.
We are local Democrats, independents, and Republicans united in voting for Maggie Hassan on Tuesday, November 8th.
The New Hampshire Senate race can break the gridlock in Washington.
Maggie Hassan supports...
Okay, so it's a long clip. I'm not gonna play it all. Did you hear that tone?
Just a weird, like a triangle, like.
Yeah. Ding. All right. Here's the Clinton ad. Very similar.
The following is a paid political announcement.
We are local voters, Democrats, Independents, and Republicans united in voting for Hillary Clinton.
Hillary Clinton's vision of America is that.
So that is it's a chime, but most notably it's called the Zenergy chime, and they use it
for
yoga classes. They use it for spiritual events, and teachers are also using it to get the attention of their class, their kids. All kids are running around and talking, and the teacher will play this chime, and everyone freezes like zombies, or they put their hands up, or they all look to teacher because she's trained them to react to this chime, where it's listen up time, kids.
Yeah.
And
well, a lot of teachers have that. I mean, especially for elementary school, where they, you know, when you hear this bell, this is when you know to, you know.
Yeah, but usually it's kind of.
It's like a triangle.
It's like an alarm clock.
Chime.
I'm thinking like the school bell. It's kind of annoying. But this is more soothing. It gets, reaches your soul. It's deep.
You know, when the first one that you played that was for Hassan, it sounded like in old radio, like 40s mm-hmm. and 50s and stuff. There were commercials, and more strident in the 70s. Those old-time vintage radio shows from the 70s were absolutely psychotic compared to stuff from the 40s. 50s were a little crazy, too, but it just people were losing their minds, and apparently they never got them. But they would have, like, a ding, and then whatever they were talking about, a strong man would say, you know, this is the best place to
My
get chicken
My teachers
thighs.
Had horns, obnoxious horns, that would get into your brain, and you just can't help but shut up and listen to whatever he had to say, what drill sergeant had to say. Mm-hmm. Or whistles.
Yeah, whistles.
Another annoying tone that really gets your attention. I don't know what to think about this very meditative, soothing tone that puts you in a state of mind to receive information. That's why they use that tone. It's
that specific.
We have a message. We have a message for the folks. We're going to put them in that mode. And if they've been trained from a young age to hear that tone, this is Pavlov's dogs. This is I'm ready for lunch. I'm ready for dog food because I hear the bell. This is sneaky. Especially if you've been trained.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it's the first time you've ever heard it, and just a lot of people probably don't notice it. But what about the millennials?
If you don't remember
what about
it?
Millennials who've been trained with this bell, like we haven't? Because I've been trained with the whistle.
But you've been trained with a noise means you stop, and it could very well be that you've heard that chime around and in the same like it's in the that bell that listen up stop is in the same context as the whistle and all that.
Check out this. I found a small clip. I'm not going to play the whole thing of a teacher using this in her classroom.
Teaching the quiet signal.
Who can remind me what we do when I play the chime in our class? Julia.
Be quiet and look at you.
So,
I totally have. Totally had that in elementary school.
I'm going to play the chime again, and I'm going to show you what this would look like. Ready? What did you notice that I did? Julia?
You were quiet and you didn't move your body.
Go back to work doing what you were doing before.
We'll practice.
I was quiet, or you were quiet and you didn't move your muscles.
Well, because it was such an obvious, like, question. So, I mean, I feel bad for that little girl. It's like, well, how do you answer
this
that?
This is probably the first day of second grade or whenever. They learned this in first grade. And
yeah.
This is what did we learn last year? It's
that instrument does look different from what I've seen, but there was definitely a, now we're going to go through the training of, you hear this noise, you stop and listen.
It's a chime again.
It sounds nice.
It was about 30 seconds.
See, she's timing.
It does sound nice, and That, I believe, is the problem. I don't know what to think about this. I think this is sneaky. This is Pavlov's dogs. This is training young children to enter a state of mind and to then be instructed by the instructor, and she could say whatever after this. And now you have these advertisers, Monadnock voters, 2016, doing the exact same thing right before their message, which, you know, you may or may not agree with. I happen to think both those people that are talking about are clowns. One's a criminal and the other's a clown. Actually, they're both criminals. But, I mean, it's sneaky tactics.
I think it's very deliberate, and they wouldn't be doing it if it weren't effective. And certainly if by the time you're driving and listening to radio, you have been trained in this in some fashion. And what that lady in that video is doing, she's not training them to, you know, shut up and listen, or like, everything I'm going to tell you is true. It's not, you know, performatives or anything. She's trying to teach them to just shut up and stop moving and look at me, because that's what a lot of elementary school and high school, even up to high school, is. It's just shut up and look at me.
And train to be this block of wood that I'm carving you into.
You know, and even I can even be sympathetic about it, because you are dealing with 30 kids who aren't yours and don't respect you unless you are forceful. So they do need something. They can't have a horn. It's going to blast everybody's ears out. So they do use that. I don't know if it's tricky, but it's a very useful thing in their ad, because it starts off with, oh, we're Republicans, we're Democrats, we are everybody, and we do this. We vote for this person. So,
well, they're all Democrats. There might be a few independents.
Well, it's Keene, so yeah, they are all Democrats.
So I thought that was interesting.
That was. I've never heard that commercial.
Zenergy chime. I'm trying to find my. I actually had this Zenergy chime drop somewhere on my hard drive. I can't find it. It might be on another computer.
And what happens if you don't follow the Zenergy
example,
chime?
Prime example of the problem with some people in this world. People who get crazy about symbolic symbols, like one of the first stories we talked about this evening about the blue line. People get crazy about that. Something happened this morning, concerning the flag that's right behind me. Wrong hand. Gadsden flag, symbol of sovereignty. Don't tread on me, or you're gonna get bit.
And it's the actual Gadsden flag.
And it's the actual Gadsden flag, and it's not the reason that an individual that we both know. We don't know him.
I don't know him.
I've been in the same room with him.
I mixed him up with somebody else completely, so I don't know him.
So he had a flag. It is the Free State Project's flag, which is the exact same Gadsden flag. Don't tread on me. But instead of a black rattlesnake on a yellow field, it's a porcupine, which is the symbol of the Free State Project, which
it's
is an animal that doesn't go around messing with other people, getting in your business. But it will defend itself. I think it's a good symbol.
It's a logo. It's a logo of a porcupine, kind of staring blankly out. It has big eyes. Mm-hmm. And so what happened with this one? Did you want to read some of it, or?
So last night, gunshots, three of them, in the chest of Ian Dixon, Garrett, or Jared Ian Dixon, 36 of Concord, was shot several times. Police said he was taken to the hospital. He is in critical but stable condition. The shooter, Sir Royce, Jerry, and Williams left the home after, but due to a car trouble, the three found themselves back in front of the home, where Sirius and Gary then engaged in a fight with Ian Dixon. The fight was over. Let me find out if I can't write the exact.
Manchester police said the argument was over a flag displayed at the residence that was considered by one of the suspects to be offensive.
And so basically, and we had earlier this year in this country, there was the whole the South Will Rise rebel flag, Southern flag.
Last year, yeah. It was taken down.
I think it was early this year, right?
Nope. Last year.
Well, people still drive around with them. You can see them here, and even in Keene, they'll have their American flag and their Gadsden flag and sometimes their
Confederate flag.
Their Confederate flag. And people are crazy. It's a stinking flag, man.
So the flag hanging in a window, it wasn't, you know, being rubbed in anybody's face.
He wasn't burning it. He wasn't draped in it and walking down the street. It's inside his window on the interior of the house. And someone got mad about this. So now, this is what they're saying. They're saying there was alcohol involved, but they're saying that the reason the fight ensued, the reason that Jared was shot, was because of this flag hanging in the window.
Well, it says the suspect felt that the flag that started the armory fight had a porcupine instead of the iconic rattlesnake. Mr. Searoy felt that was a desecration of the flag. He got very upset about it, and the altercation ensued. And I'm not really sure that it's really about the flag, really, because they're at the home.
It might also have to do with political views.
Oh, God, I hope I never have to hear about that.
Like, I don't like government. I think we need less of it. Hey, right. You can't take my government.
But if you're in somebody's home, then why would you...
Well, they didn't have. They don't meet. Doesn't no. I don't. They I didn't left, see anywhere that said they were in the home.
It does say they left the home.
The front of the home, outside, in the street. That's the people who heard that
left the home after, but due to car trouble, they found themselves back in front of the home, where then they got in a fight and there was the shooting and all that.
Right.
And, I mean, everything up to now, I assume that they were in the home. They saw the flag. They were fighting. They left. They tried to leave, but they couldn't because of their car, and then they just stood around being drunk a-holes who got into a fight anyways because they were drunk a-holes. And, you know, this is the... I don't know if it, oh, this is...
There we go. Now we got a picture.
Okay.
It's on the screen, guys.
Okay, so that's the Porcupine flag, the Free State Project flag, and I think below the field, it's hanging vertically. And below the field, I think it says Don't Tread on Me, or it says Free State Project or something. It's a logo.
There are multiple versions of this same flag. I think this one actually looks hand-drawn.
Oh,
but there is a much better version of this out there. People are changing their Facebook profiles to this porcupine, Shauna.
Oh, God. That does so much, I'm sure. It's like
painting a blue line down Marlboro Street. It's to show your support. Let's do it. Well, let's do it. After this, I'll change my...
Again, Free Staters do nothing.
I'll change my icon.
No, it's unbelievable at first hearing that somebody got shot over this flag. Mm-hmm. But if he's saying that he felt it was a desecration of the flag and got very upset, I never would have thought about it, but I guess I could see how it would be a desecration. Or it's such a difference, like this blank... emotionless, lifeless looking porcupine drawing. Like, the eyes are just wide. Compare it to the Gadsden flag, which at least has... I'm going to sneeze, it's so cold. Which at least...
Sneeze like a little mouse. Oh, sneeze like a little porcupine.
I don't know how to do that. But it... I mean, the only thing I can say is, like, I guess it's a desecration.
It's not a desecration.
If you have, like, well, I'm not saying that I think it is. I'm saying I can see how other people would see that if that's their excuse for getting into a fight with somebody they wanted to get into a fight with.
Using it as an excuse to shoot somebody, we've passed the realm.
It is a very different
reality. We're outside of reality right now.
It's a very different image from what you're seeing with the Gadsden flag, the actual one. You know, it actually has, you know, detailed grass, and the image is active.
But like I was saying, during the Confederate flag...
And the porcupine flag just looks kind of cutesy and childish, and maybe that is enough for somebody to be a desecration. I don't really think it is. I think it's just if you're in somebody's house, then that's their home, that's their flag. Leave
them alone. Yes, during the Confederate flag uproar, if you... monitored any of the comments the people were making. There were people who had the exact same argument. This is a desecration of our ideals. this is, you're trying to bring us back to the slave times, and you need to be taken care of. You need to be arrested. You need to be thrown in jail. You need to be beaten up.
Are you talking about the Confederate flag or the...
Confederate flag, not this.
Who was saying that? I don't understand what you're talking about.
People who...
Who want the flag to stay up, like in the Capitol?
Who want the flag down.
Okay.
You can go with the same argument anytime someone burns one of these flags, one American flag, or lays it on the ground and walks all over it. The same thing. These people come out of the woodworks. People who would never comment on a post. People who would never call into a talk show. Ever.
But they understand something about...
This is something that's very easy to understand. It's a flag. It has symbolism. And our, you know, someone died for this flag behind us, this Gadsden flag, in their mind.
Okay.
And so I need to, keep in mind, I'm drunk out of my mind, and I've got a gun, and this guy is talking smack, desecrating my flag. He mm-hmm. needs to get shot.
Well, I don't know that what actually happened in Manchester is ridiculous, and I hope, you know, the guy who was shot gets better soon and all that, you know, love and light to him. But I would say definitely that they that's something that people understand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the flag, desecrating the flag is bad. And that's, if somebody's so dumb that that's all that they understand, okay, yeah, you can hit at them for that. You know, oh, you didn't comment on anything else, but you comment on this dumb thing because you're dumb and this is all you understand. Well, then maybe the people who are conducting the flag desecration show, maybe if that's not the type of person that they want to rile up, they should go for a show that's more refined to get more refined criticism.
Anyone burning a flag is trying to rile someone up.
Yes, exactly. And so, like, I do the same thing, too. You know, I get frustrated by people saying, oh, just the virtue signaling around the flag. I understand, I really do, more than most libertarians are going to give you credit. I understand the whole don't do that to the flag, whatever the flag is. You know, I understand that sentiment. And I can also get up to some people like, God, this is the only thing they care about. But at the same time, it's like, if you're inviting that by your conducting the desecrate the flag show for attention, well, then don't complain about the people who come out to see your show.
Don't do it, guys. You heard it from Shauna. I'm saying do it. But don't do it for attention. Do it to make a statement. The flag is just a piece of cloth. Patriotism is believing that you are better because you were born in a certain place and your neighbor was not. And so you should hate them. That's what it is. And that's the problem with it.
I think it's good to love things.
Yes. What was the love and light?
Nope. I'm not going there. I'm just going to put it in those terms. I think it is good to love things. And that also, you know, I mean, it's good to love your kid, but it's not good to spoil them. And raise them up to be spoiled monster narcissists who destroy everything. No, you love them, so you raise them right, and you get on their ass when they do bad.
You've been watching Citizen Kane, everyone. The website is citizenkane.org. I'll be posting this video there, as well as the show notes, the links to all the articles that we talked about. If you want to send me a message, the email is show@citizenkane.org, or you can like our Facebook. You can send me a message that way. Feel free to call that number below me anytime you want, 267-521-2771. Leave a message. If it's during the week, I won't be picking it up. And that's it.
You can send me a message on the Citizen Kane Facebook page, too, because
she's on it. She's an administrator.
I'm an admin.
An admin. Everyone, thank you so much for tuning in and watching and sending me the notes and whatever. We will see you again next week at the same time. Good night.
Are we live right now?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
But we have to pass the bill so that you can find out what is in it.
Hate her so much.
All right, let me get your reaction.
Oh, God, no.
They think their house is haunted, and that's why they...
So this is...
Oh, no!
This is... I haven't listened to this lady in a good long time.
Why am I already...
Because I don't listen on Fridays. That's the mornings that she's on. It's on Dan's show.
Who is
Bleeding
she?
Heart Liberal, out of Concord, makes my skin crawl.
What's the name?
And she makes my skin crawl. There's no telling. Shauna's probably going to have a stroke. But that's all right. We got to get her warmed up. We got to get her agitated. We got to get her...
I got to be agitated by outside forces, not what's in my mind. We need outside storms.
Her name is Arnie Arneson.
End up selling their house. Speaking of homes, let's go up to Concord, a block or two away from our state's capital, is where you'll find Arnie Arneson. She joins us on Friday mornings, and you can, too, always at 357-1290. Good morning, Arnie.
So I'm going to take a point of personal privilege, everyone. My husband died 3 years ago on Halloween.
By the way, we're not live yet, guys, so this is... Give you another 10 minutes.
So I can cuss.
Halloween is always a tough day for me. So it's early morning on Monday morning, and many of you may have known that Marty asked me to, cremate him, put his ashes in these tiny little envelopes, of which he did 500 of them.
I know where this is
event.
Going.
You know,
yeah,
this,
yeah.
Like,
well,
I have a big event, and we passed out the ashes at the event, and on the little packet, it said, take me to a play, a party, a hike, anything wonderful. And the marquee at the Capitol Center for the Arts said wonderful, and 600 people came. So there I am on Monday morning, holding a little packet of ashes. Tears are pouring down my cheeks because I miss him terribly. And then I get a text message. We're in labor. We're in labor. We're on the way to the hospital.
Sprinkle it on the baby.
It's from Marty's son. And that day, the day he died, something wonderful happened. And I got a brand new grandson. So, you know, he said anything wonderful. And sure enough, what happens?
No.
But I get a grandson. That's the first one. The second,
okay.
Marty comes from Bloomington, Illinois. Who won? Who won, Danny? The Cubs won! The Cubs won! You can't even, I am like out of my mind. And I'm thinking, what an amazing gift this week has been. It's been a very difficult week, you know it and I know it, from covering politics. But there are things that are actually better than politics. And that's watching the Cubs win and seeing a new grandchild coming into the world. So I just wanted to say thank you, everyone. That's my point of personal privilege. This has been a wonderful week. So anyway.
She hung up?
Point of personal privilege. I had to look that up, and the only place I've ever found that used is in it's legal speak.
John Kerry said it at some douchebag game.
Using it differently. I believe she's using it as a point of personal. This is my personal privilege, and I'm going to let you guys know how privileged I am right now.
She's saying, I'm so cool to be on this show all the time, and we're all good friends, and the audience loves it. That's one. That's kind of what that was. She really should have closed it all, wrapped it all up with, we sprinkled my dead husband's ashes on the baby.
Mm-hmm.
That would be so in line with what I've been reading this weekend about the Podesta weird satanic whatever. It would just fit with everything else. And it sounded like that's what she was about to say. But
we have found the witch! May we burn her!
Oh, I just realized I lost my place. Whoops. Because I
and
played a stupid drop.
The freaking Cubs.
Oh, the freaking
thing.
Cubs.
It was
but
just
she was
so
but
wonderful.
She was, she was equating that to a birth of a child.
That sounds like something a Yankee up here would do.
They think their house is haunted.
They think their house is haunted.
And that's why they end up. Marty was a Cubs fan, and that one of that he knows somebody that works for the Cubs too, right? So his ashes, part of somebody who's taken them to Wrigley Field, right?
Well, no, they actually.
By the way, someone that we know calls
City
in a second.
All
the
Royals. And when the Royals was in the year he
well,
died.
Well, no, I still got more on that.
The year he dies, this is what happens. I mean, it's like you can't make it up. This is just. And
did her husband die 3 years ago, or did he die like?
She mentions it an awful lot.
A week ago.
Like I said, I haven't heard her in a while, but when I used to be forced to listen to her on the way home, you know, early Friday mornings.
Yeah.
I've heard it more than once.
Okay. Well, I mean, my only point about the Cubs winning is I don't follow any of it, so there's nothing I can really say one way or the other if I were to. I mean, I'm sure that there's some way I could make the Cubs winning connected to me somehow. I could somehow tie it in. I have at least a couple of generations back of first names and last names that I could use somehow being connected and make it about me, which is what everybody is kind of doing. We're far away from wherever the Cubs are. And I don't know. I mean, I get sympathy at work for being the non-sports fan.
The non-sports ball fan?
Yeah. And I kind of like am starting to sympathize with it. Because there's, like, my bosses, all so many of them, and my coworkers, all so many of them, and at least at this job, they're different in personality and scope and vibes that they give off. And there's at least the sportses that it's, I don't want to say it's like the equalizer, but it kind of is conversationally. It's like the weather.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, even at my last job, the CEO of the company was a big New York something fan. So even, you know, my retarded coworker could be like, I'm better than you because I like the local team. And he, you know, he's a cool dude. And yeah, ha ha. I'm such a great dude, whatever. And my, you know, coworker was like, ah, yay, happy, talk to the boss, big boss.
The best ad I ran was a radio ad, and it was based, I believe, actually on a radio interview. I don't think it was with you, Danny. But
Danny?
Someone asked me a question about you know, like, why was I doing this? And I told them the story of listening to an NPR piece where someone was asked, why are Americans why do they so adore baseball? And what the person on NPR said was because
zombies.
Baseball
Zombie
is the
sheeps.
Place where they practice hope. The place where they practice hope. And I heard that line, and I suddenly realized that's why I did politics. Because for me, politics is the place where I practice hope.
This mascara isn't waterproof, okay?
That. Because the Cubs was
this.
A story of hope. You know, it really was, and it happened. It took a long time,
and
but it happened.
Vain, so.
And despite this horrific election,
politics
still is a place where I practice hope. So I just wanted folks to know that. So baseball does connect to me on even a political level. But this has been an interesting week, and you know it's even more interesting when Barack Obama
pieces.
And Donald
Sprinkle
Trump come back to New Hampshire on Monday. And let me tell you why that's important. One, obviously, Corey Lewandowski and Donald Trump, this was the state where he won, the first state where he won. This is the state where Obama lost.
Wait,
and there's really a message here.
Obama losing
because
New Hampshire?
While Donald Trump may have won,
maybe in 08.
The question is, will he win on Tuesday? I think one of the reasons
probably
why Barack Obama is coming in on Monday is that he wants to remind them that going into that primary that Friday, he was double digits ahead of Hillary Clinton. And despite that, he lost.
Just fingers fucking
but who
crossed.
Won the election?
I don't know what else to say.
Barack Obama. So, you know, polls are very, very interesting things. We don't necessarily know what's going to happen. And Tuesday will be an interesting decider, I hope. Not like what happened in 2000. But the question is, what do we get once we decide? And I suspect, unfortunately, it may be more chaotic than we want.
Right. And I'm looking forward to Wednesday in that it's the day after the election. I'm not looking forward to it because I'm afraid of what's going to happen in this country, at least for a few weeks following the election. A lot of it obviously depends on the outcome. But either way, there are going to be people who won't accept the results of the election. And
like in 2000, people did not accept the results
of
the election.
357-1290. Email is dan@wkbkradio.com
if you want
to join us on the program.
Really,
so this is the last time officially you and I talk before the election. Let's talk about the state elections and predictions. Very close. Tons of money, ads everywhere. Kelly Ayotte and Maggie Hassan. Maggie was ahead in the polls and slipped a little bit this past week. Who do you think ends up winning?
She is the statewide Greg Hansel on a state scale. And I hate Hassan, too.
I actually watched like 10 minutes of the debate, the Ayotte-Hassan debate. And I have to admit, I've never really watched Hassan up close.
Yeah.
She has a very definite speech. He has very definite speech mannerisms that are noticeable.
Are you talking about Hassan, the scraggly blonde,
Ayotte's tall, Viking-looking woman.
Okay.
Hassan is a small, goatish woman with a crazy... She has kind of a halting speech where she pronounces words and stops and...
Is it like Hillary Clinton, where she's like...
No, it's a little different than that.
I can prove that I'm very smart and thinking because I talk very slowly.
I think Kelly may do it. And that's what I've thrown into the red team. I will not support this with her. You'll see how weak this is constitutional. You've got the combination of they are clear, however, May Clinton to...
We've
pocket is not her courage, it's the court. Kelly's pocket's got courage.
357-1290, the number to call. We have a couple more minutes with Arnie this morning. We appreciate your patience. You're on. Go ahead.
Good morning.
Hi.
We've had Arnie on talking about Bernie Sanders. We've had Arnie on talking about Hillary Clinton. We haven't heard from Arnie about ethics. We haven't heard about the outrage of what the Hillary Clinton campaign did to Bernie Sanders. We haven't heard the outrage of the complicit press working alongside with the Clinton campaign. We haven't heard about the moral outrage of the pay-for-play of the Clinton Foundation scandals. We haven't heard any outrage over the internal workings with the Department of Justice.
This guy's a shitlord, man. Base motherfucker right here.
With the Clinton campaign.
Go ahead, Arnie. I know that you and I, and obviously all listeners can't listen all the time, but this is something you and I have talked a lot about.
She's a goddamn succubus!
All right, we got to go.
That is a very unpopular call that he made, and he did it anyways.
All right, let's get it started.
I'm going to write a letter to the editor when he's running for re-election. Just be like, he's a base motherfucker.
Turn the heat on. Are you cold?
Oh, my God, yeah.
I was
getting so mad that I was going to sneeze. I was like building with fury and I couldn't remember anything I was thinking about in the shower. I'm like, the fucking Gadsden flag actually has life to it. The Free Stater Porcupine logo flag is like soulless.
It's like Pokemon.
It's not even Pokemon. Pokemon's
cute. This is like Ren and Stimpy.
This is like Walt Disney's The Old Mill, the original Gadsden flag, and the FSP flag, and I've seen it for years, so I'm not like, this is my initial, I've never put this much thought into it. It's just childish. And I don't think if you're going to get into a drunken shootout.
It's stylized. It's not even the same art category.
It's stencilized. If I got a stencil of a porcupine, I could draw one. I mean, that's just my impression. I know it's probably like my best friend drew it or something, but what if my effing luck. But
remind me to put in
Then at the same time, like, there's no way that some dude who's going to get into a fight in somebody's house about a flag that probably isn't being shoved in their face and then leaves. And then they can't leave with their stupid friend. And no, let's go back. We're going back to this.
Hold on. Look. All right. Hard to share in two mice.
Yeah, see? This is the worst part. Okay, back up. In the morning, evidence at the scene. when police arrived, Geiger, the husband of the whole thing was written from the point of view of the two neighbors who heard this and were like, shit, we're moving. The guy who saw it went outside to see what was happening. He said workers across the street at Domino's Pizza told him a woman in a white BMW was changing a tire as two guys fight. Like, there's your feminism. Great old women of the 70s who now are all the grandmothers wondering.
How did you forget to mention that? She must have been
I didn't get to because I was going to sneeze. And it was cold. And this whole stupid thing, that was like the money shot in this article. The real story. Was a woman had to do work. Oh, my God.
Well, here's my question. Who is this woman? Is she...
She was also shot.
Is she a big woman?
No, she's a tiny girl. She's...
How do you know?
Because I thought I saw her...
No.
...picture somewhere. Shut up.
Dainty things don't know how to change tires. This woman...
Oh, you ain't seen Pretty Little Dainty Things in Manchester.
Have you changed a tire before, a little pretty dainty thing?
No.
That's what I'm talking about.
Because I'm open about, you know, not being able to.
Getting dirt on your fingernails.
No. So, yeah. The kind of people that are doing that and in that behavior where, you know, and it's not the end of the world if a chick changes a tire or anything, but it's just indicative thereof, are not the type of people that are going to be struck by the difference in art. And struck by, you know, how horribly childish a different piece of cloth looks. And if flags are so not important, then why do people buy porcupine flags?
It's a symbol. It's a symbol of how they feel. And this guy believes that...
It's just drawings on paper.
Believes that the porcupine is a desecration of how he feels.
Or just the flag being so different. It's...
Well, I'm glad I got you riled up.
Don't let people in your house or your quote house or whatever you're doing. If you can't, you don't even have like any. See, that's the other thing because I had to sneeze. I couldn't get.
This is what you need more of. And by the way, I have some bad news for you, but I'm not going to tell you on air.
The little one died? No, seriously. I mean, why would you let somebody in your house and then be like, oh, I didn't know you were the type of person to flip out over a flag that isn't even a real flag because it, you know, is a marketing tool, whatever. It's cool, but it's not, you know, I mean, I wouldn't attach the same importance and cultural learning to the Free State Project flag as I would the American flag or the Gadsden or the state of New Hampshire or whatever.
Yeah, actually, because it doesn't really bother a lot of libertarians. It's like, it's just a flag. It's just a piece of cloth.
The Free State Project flag is definitely a piece of cloth.
Yeah, to them, it's just, yeah. It's not my soul. It's not a window into my soul.
No. But
it's
there's also
a,
been
it's just
no,
an idea.
There's but, also been no country, nationwide association of the Free State Project flag with anything.
Yeah,
there's no association ingrained in our brains as little children when we got the, you know, Zenergy chime drilled into our head.
Because that's not the mission.
That the other flags
it's not the mission to become a country.
I'm not explaining why. I'm just saying what it is. They just, you know, maybe that's a good thing. Maybe that's a bad thing. Maybe it's a neutral thing. But that's exactly what it is. That flag doesn't. It's not inculcated in little kids' brains until they're in their 30s that that's what the porcupine flag means. So, you know, maybe in 2 years the logo will change and the Free State Project flag will look totally different because, you know, whatever. That's what freedom is.
Yeah, I was thinking, I actually, when I watched the Wolverine documentary...
Yeah.
I was like, wow, that's... I want to be a Wolverine. Actually, someone actually brought up the... So if you get into...
One of the guys in the documentary says that he would like to be a Wolverine.
If you get in the right-left rabbits-wolves... selection theory. The question... So if the left are the rabbits and the right are the wolves, then where do the libertarians fall into the spectrum and... some have decided that the bears, not like furries, but bears, like in as they are kind of individualistic. They roam around by themselves. They only get together when they mate or when they're having kids, and then they kind of split up again. They don't really attack things, unless, of course, you're mama bear and you got your cubs there. So they actually run probably as often as they charge. But they are most definitely capable of defending themselves. So maybe a libertarian that is in that spectrum are the bears. I'm like, well, hey, hold on now. What about wolverines, man? Those are pretty cool. But then I found out that they're related to weasels, and weasels are psychotic.
Well, there you go.
Well, maybe there are wolverine libertarians out there, and some of them are bears, and some of them are porcupines. Basically, any animal wants to be left alone, but can defend itself.
I don't know, because there's left libertarians and there's right libertarians, and then there's the constant badgering of the others who don't care into getting on one side or the other in social media drama clubs. Mm-hmm. But I'll even accounting for that, like all the left libertarians are whatever the left is, and all the right libertarians are whatever the right is, whatever. That would leave some who don't know one way or the other, and I think they're kind of not there. It wouldn't be their politics, their libertarianism that puts them in R or K. It would be whether they are R or K.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think you can be. I think that the answer when it comes to RK is you have to have a healthy dose of the two. If you're all R, you're going to eat yourself to death. You're going to eat all the food and you're going to starve. If you're all K, you're going to stagnate because you're never going to let new blood into the tribe.
You're going to be a biological dead end.
You're so conservative that you're unable to adapt and to change, which the R specialize in. The correct answer is to be a healthy combination of the two, and that is why humans are able to adapt as well as they do. The problem is being stuck in the middle and watching both these sides, which insist on alienating themselves and fighting, and you're stuck in the middle. It's like, yeah, you know what? You're both wrong. You're both authoritarian. You both want to take my rights away from us because you know better than the rest of us. And so it's hard being in the middle. You know, more and more I'm starting to believe that we really are in the Matrix. It's so stupid out there. This year, this election season, the people, they're making arguments for these two. They're making arguments for a buffoon and for a criminal, and they're like, you know, and still making the arguments against third party, and I mean, you might not agree that that's even the solution.
It's not like Gary Johnson is making a very good case for third party. He's an utter disgrace.
To the libertarians, yeah.
Yeah, and to regular people watching him. It just, he's, even if Trump were not running, and it was, you know, Hillary versus Jebby, or whoever they wanted to be in there, his behavior would, maybe, you know, because he's not ruled by his own ideas or whatever, he would stand out as a principled guy who understands libertarianism.
Are you just mad at his senior pot moments?
No, he's just been, he's, to me, just watching him, and I've seen principled libertarians, I've seen really good candidates, I've seen really interesting candidates who at least, I mean, in 04, I thought Dennis Kucinich, in 04 and 08, I thought Kucinich would be really interesting if he was a Democratic nominee.
The elf man?
Yeah, the elf man who's got a really smoking hot wife, so good on him.
He's rich.
He's got game. But I thought he'd be a really interesting candidate to be the Democratic nominee because I thought he really encapsulated the fiery passion for his ideals and didn't seem like such a party schlub like Kerry, like Obama or whatever. Like he actually had...
Yeah, he was like the only anti-war left that
Yeah, and particularly
he doesn't even talk anymore.
And particularly, well, they got rid of him. And particularly in 08, he was, you know what, there was, he was saying something different. And I remember watching the 04, in the 2004 election, C-SPAN had a debate of all the third-party candidates. Mm-hmm. And what struck me wasn't so much that I liked what Badnarik said, which I did, and I also liked, I'm forgetting his name, but he ran on the Constitution Party, which existed back then, and I liked what he said too. And there were other people, and I didn't like them, but they all said something different. It was distinct what they would, except for the Patriot Act. When it was, would you abolish the repeal the Patriot Act? They were all like almost in unison. They're like, well, yeah. And it was, you know, like, wow, it was actually funny because it was the only thing that these people were all saying the same. You listen to Bush and Kerry in 04 in all those debates.
More of it.
They're all just saying the same crap. Like, on everything, they're saying exact same thing. And in this election, if Trump were not in, any one of the other people in the Republican nominee's place would be saying the exact same thing that Hillary is saying. And that's not the case. You have some dude who's saying very different things. Very different things than what Hillary is saying. And I'm not saying that I'm not in this case saying that what he's saying is good or right or the best, making the most out of a bad situation that is America, this communist country. But what he's saying, what he's proposing is very different from what she's saying.
Why are we fighting?
That, to me, is the real reason why people are so worked up and jerked up about this election. Because there's actually different things. There are different options on the table. And whatever I was saying about Gary Johnson, he's kind of, he's been impressing upon me the, you know, like the nice guy, the jilted nice guy who doesn't get the girl because he's too nice and he just, you know, is just mad that that chick is going with the one of the bad boys who doesn't that dumb slut knew how good I would treat her like a lady.
Yeah, but if Johnson would wake up, he would realize that his soulmate is like driving in the passenger seat. Giving him advice.
Soulmate?
Well, if we're talking about like an 80s teen movie.
Okay, all right,
so
yeah.
His soulmate is there somewhere. Giving him advice.
It's me. I'm trying to give him advice right now. Dude, you should have supported McAfee. You should have thrown that stupid relic gun in the trash in front of everybody to see like a big dumb baby.
Well, I'm going
to
vote for Perry. Did I tell you that?
Rick Perry?
Daryl Perry.
Oh, my God.
Who was. I'm going to write his name in. So I am a vice presidential candidate for on the write-in ticket in Alaska.
That means we have to go to Alaska.
You know how mosquitoes are like in Alaska?
Not right now.
They could pick you up. Take you away.
I'd be cool with it, man.
All right, we got to go. I got to start editing this video. I want to go to sleep tonight. I got work tomorrow. Guys, thank you so much for listening. We've got to go.
It's cold.
We'll see you again next week.
It's so cold.
It's not that cold.
I'm freezing.
But,
to death.
Take care, guys. We're out.
Ow. Oh, wait first. Do you like them?
Yes, your earrings are very pretty.
Yay!
Were the headphones?
Totally could not see them at all. I bet.
Yes.
Oh, well. They're new, man. They two layers. This is.
They're very nice. Everyone at home, send emails to Shauna on the Facebook
page. You're not recording this because I was going to say something dirty.
Oh, they're still being recorded.
No.
Send your messages to Shauna and tell her how much you liked her.
It's not
pretty earrings.
Showing.
And we're out.